This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Tex and Jason with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre.
What do we have on the show this week?
Well, Jason, tonight we're going to be chatting with Max from Living Positive Victoria, and we're going to talk about a brand new project that's titled Senior Voices. So Max will be letting us in on this, and he'll be letting the listener know all about it as well. We're going to have a snippet of news to start off with, some very exciting news of something that's happened this week. And later, we'll have some information about events that are happening around town.
Well, we've talked about rapid HIV testing so much on the show. And back in January, when the Victorian Minister for Health and Ageing, the Honourable David Davis, announced funding for Victoria's first community-based rapid HIV testing site, there was lots of community excitement around that time. But yesterday, the site officially launched. So the site called Pronto,
yes,
was officially launched yesterday by the Minister for Health, the Executive Director of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, Matt Dixon, Dr. Mark Stuve from the Burnett Institute, as well as the Mayor for the City of Yarra, Jackie Fristacki.
And out of all of those people, the Mayor is the only person we haven't had on over the years. So a stellar list of people who were there to launch this new project. And this is the first ever public clinic, which is free, for rapid HIV testing for gay men and other guys who have sex with men.
That's right. So as you said, this is the first clinic in Victoria that men can access the newly approved rapid HIV testing for free. And that's entirely due to the generous funding that we've received from the Victorian Department of Health. At the moment, no rapid HIV test is rebatable by Medicare. So some people may be aware that the Pran Market Clinic and another clinic in the city, I think it's Era Health.
There's also one in Bendigo, I've heard.
Yes, which is an extension of Pran Market. So those all have rolled out rapid HIV testing. However, it's a service that patients or clients need to pay for out of their own pocket. So this represents a major shift in that regard, but also is a huge shift in that it's community-based. So it's for gay men, run by gay men, which means, you know, it's a different experience when you go for an HIV test.
Which means it shouldn't be a frightening experience for people. And it's also very accessible hours, and we'll be mentioning those hours very soon. But it means the clinic will be open when men are out and about. And the other important thing about it is that it reduces the time to actually have the test undertaken. Normally you'd go to a doctor, you'd get a blood test, you'd have to come back in 7 to 10 days' time, sometimes 2 weeks' time, or whenever you could next get an appointment, and then you would get your results. Now, with this rapid test, as the name suggests, the actual test time is about 10 minutes, is that
about
right?
10 minutes. So all told, the appointment, you'll be in and out within 30 minutes.
Which is quite spectacular. I mean, it's very quick.
But as you mentioned, you know, it's all about accessibility. And what came through loud and clear when we were doing some formative evaluation around what this service needed to look like, guys just kept saying, we need a service that's open when we're not working. So outside of your traditional clinical hours. So the service is going to be open from Tuesday to Friday from 4 to 8 p.m. So it just finished its first shift this evening, and will also be open for Saturday afternoons from 1 to 5. So it's an appointment-based system, but again, to assist with making it simpler, people can book appointments online, not just by phone. And so there's a really simple site for the service called at pronto.org.au. where people can book in right away.
And this really is an excellent service, in as much as that guys can call in perhaps on the way home from work. They can call in on a Saturday afternoon, you know, when they may not traditionally be working. I know that working hours are very funny and there's always people working everywhere, but this is giving people another opportunity to actually get that test and find out. You know, because as I often say with the volunteers that I train in the outreach project, when we speak to people, one of those hit home messages is that once you know, you can do something about it. So if you know you've picked up a sexually transmitted infection, if you're going to a standard GP, then there are treatments generally available. If you're HIV positive, there are treatments available.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If anyone has any questions that's listening, that they want to send into the studio via SMS 0427-JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. And we'll be happy to talk about a little bit more of the service if you have any questions.
This is Well, Well, Well. And joining Jason and I this evening is Max Niggle from Living Positive Victoria. Last week, of course, on the show, we had Brent, who's the Executive Director of Living Positive Victoria. So we're having a bit of a Living Positive month. So, good evening, Max. And I can say this because you've been on before. Welcome back to Well, Well, Well.
It's an absolute pleasure, Tex. And hi, Jason, and hi, everybody out there.
I thought perhaps, look, you've been on the show before, but it's not always the same listener who's listening. So perhaps you can share with our listener a little bit about yourself, what you've done work-wise, prior to working in the HIV sector.
Oh, how long have you got?
Oh, 6 hours.
Okay. Very quickly, a 50s child, born in Melbourne, raised in the country, came to Melbourne at 18. I started in retail, in management, buying and administration and training. And that was basically my career for over 20, 25 years. Had my own business. Then a few changes going through there into more sort of private bookkeeping for clients, and even had my own gardening business, small courtyard and garden design business at one point, being really butch.
That's no surprise.
And that was about the time that my partner became very ill with AIDS-defining illness in the mid-90s, and he died in 1995. So it was a bit of a juggling act back then. I came out when I was in my early 20s, in the early 70s, when being gay was illegal, so it was a big challenge. Kept my sexuality secret from my parents for a decade, and then I was diagnosed HIV positive with an AIDS-defining illness in 87, 88, and I had to then tell my parents what I call the triple whammy, and that was gay, HIV positive with an AIDS-defining illness, and at the time being told that I probably had 6 months to live. But here I am 25 years later, and I'm happy to be here talking to you all.
And we're very happy to have you here. Now, Max, can you share with our listener a little bit about where you work now, Living Positive Victoria, and what your main responsibilities are within that organisation?
Yeah, well, Living Positive Victoria is a statewide organisation representing everybody living with HIV in Victoria. We are very closely linked with Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre, all of the other HIV sector providers, including Positive Women and Straight Arrows in Victoria. But also we have national representation through the National Association of People Living with HIV. So we work within national strategic plans, state strategic plans. But our focus more as an agency in Victoria, and our name change from People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria to Living Positive Victoria, was very much about encouraging everyone living with HIV to live well, to understand that they really have a bright future. And we have a very strong health promotion team, all focused on people being able to live well. But not only that, advocacy is crucial to our work, so we work in a very, very broad sense, in advocating for the best interests of our constituency. There are, you know, Melbourne Sexual Health Centre is crucial for people accessing services, accessing medication, free medication in particular. But more broadly, encouraging people to understand that a diagnosis doesn't equate death. And this is what everybody seems to have, this historical narrative or perspective that's been inherited as a belief system. You're diagnosed, how long have I got to live? Well, we want to say, If you were diagnosed today, being diagnosed in Melbourne, you're probably being diagnosed in the best city in the world for accessing services, comprehensive services. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, your life can go on, that you can do anything you want. You can study, you can travel, you can get the best careers, you can do everything that everybody else can. More importantly, though, we are trying to address HIV stigma, which is just absolutely pervasive, especially in the gay community. And more broadly, there's a massive fear around the myths around HIV transmission. So we're really trying to focus through our Enough campaign to address stigma, and that is about the whole community becoming involved in challenging HIV stigma. So when they hear something said, oh, you know, you deserve getting HIV, or, you know, you're a gay man, so you should have AIDS, we have to challenge people straight away.
Sure.
So across the rest of the agency's work, we have the Connect Line, which is the HIV and Sexual Health Connect Line, a private anonymous telephone service where we refer people when they have questions around sexual health and well-being, and of course my program, which is the Positive Speakers Bureau. In addition to that, we now have two communications offices, so we're very switched on to the digital media, and of course Facebook and Twitter and everything else that you can possibly imagine.
Now, you did mention the Positive Speakers Bureau. Mm. When did you get involved with that, and you know, what do you think makes it so important?
Okay, well, I was employed way back in 1999, and part of the executive assistance position description at the time was to reinvigorate the Positive Speakers Bureau, and those few words inspired me to apply for the position. I strongly believe, in having not been open about my status, that it was about time that I was open about my status, and that I couldn't run a Positive Speakers Bureau if I wasn't open about my status. In other words, show some damn leadership and own up to who you are. Be honest with yourself. The Bureau in particular is, I regard, as the human face of HIV. They're the ones who are out in the community all the time. You know, last financial year we spoke to 10,500 people, mm-hmm. of which nearly 75% are school students, and a massive amount of those school students we speak to in rural secondary schools. So nearly 7,000 students in rural secondary schools hear our speakers. What do our speakers get out of it? What do I get out of it? It is about the fact that we're in front of audiences and we are breaking down the barriers straight away. The minute that somebody hears somebody say, I'm HIV positive and my name is Max, they stand up and listen. Students who are normally rowdy and disrespectful are literally quiet and absolutely absorbed with what's being said. So as we've built the Bureau, I mean, we started off with less than 5 speakers. We've now got 50 speakers on the books. Mm-hmm. And male, female, gay, straight, bisexual, all demographics are represented, from speakers who are in their late 20s right through to speakers in their 60s. To get out there in the community and actually speak with, say, for example, first-year medical students or first-year dental students, mm-hmm. or to people going through the pre- and post-test counselling courses, suddenly they realise that HIV is real, that there's somebody living in their community with HIV. And to me, that's the most impactful part of what we do as speakers, to represent the face of HIV in the broader community. And constantly we get feedback about how brave people are, about how open people are. Mm-hmm. And I'd make the point that if more people were brave, to use those words, that word, and open about their HIV status, we would significantly reduce stigma and discrimination around HIV. My, you know, naive, idealistic dream is that we have 25,000 Australians suddenly come out as being HIV positive, and I would suggest that we would have a massive reduction in stigma.
If you've just joined us, we are speaking with Max Nicol from Living Positive Victoria, and we've been talking about what Living Positive Victoria does, and especially the Positive Speakers Bureau. But Max, you've joined us this evening to share some important information about a new project that you're involved with. Do you ever sleep? Max, what is the name of this project?
So I'm really, really pleased to talk tonight about what is called the Senior Voices Project.
Yeah.
Brand new project, which is going to be starting in earnest next week.
Good heavens.
We have finally recruited somebody.
So what's involved with the Senior Voices Project?
Okay, so it's going to be about recruiting senior PLHRV speakers across the GLBTIQ divide. Mm-hmm. The prerequisite, of course, is that they're HIV positive, if people don't understand what I mean by PLHRV. And this will be very much about them being trained to go and educate aged care providers and their staff around the rights of GLBTI people entering aged care, residential care, and or even having local council staff come into their home and look after them. It will be linked into the federal act that was recently passed, stating that you cannot discriminate against people because of their sexuality. And that also includes religious-based organisations who run aged care.
Who's been the main person, or who have been the main people within Living Positive Victoria who have been driving this project? I mean, is it you that's been driving the project?
Oh, look, I drive everything.
I believe that.
No. Look, first of all, our executive officer, Brent, having previously worked for the Department of Health, he was acutely aware of where the money sits within the Federal Department of Health and Ageing. We had a grants funding writer at the time called David O'Keefe, who you probably know, and Jason. Yep. Will be joining him at the Burnett.
That's right.
And so David was writing some various grants, and one of the ones was under the aged care grants for GLBTIQ. And in particular, we decided that we had a really good opportunity here to get some federal money rather than rely upon state money.
Sure.
So it was a massive submission. It took a long time to write and get right. So we put it in for a 4-year project. And lo and behold, we were shortlisted. And that was incredibly exciting news.
Indeed, yeah.
This is a feather in the cap for us getting federal money. I might also say that Queensland Association of Health and Communities also got some under the funding stream that we got some from. And that they will be employing health promotion officers to work in the area of aged care for HIV-positive people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's going to be a pretty amazing project in, first of all, that it's going to go for 4 years. And we aim to have senior speakers who maybe may have even retired, who are looking to do something really productive in their lives, but more importantly, because of their age demographic, they're going to be able to talk about the real life experience of ageing.
Now, Max, is there a time that you've mentioned there's a timeline? So it's going to be a 4-year project.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting, did you say, next week?
Yes.
And then it will continue on and developed over 4 years.
Yep.
How many people living with HIV do you anticipate are going to be trained as speakers over the course of the project? I mean, like, are they all going to be trained at once and then they'll fan out for 4 years, or is it going to be a continuing evolutionary process?
An absolutely evolutionary project. There's no way we could recruit the amount of speakers that we're looking for in the first 6 months,
mm-hmm.
because we're literally building this project from the ground up. But firstly, we do aim to recruit a minimum of 6 in the first 6 months.
Yeah.
12 by the end of 12 months, and then progressively try to recruit upwards of 24 by the end of the project.
All right.
Now, you mentioned earlier that it's about speaking to aged care facilities. Mm-hmm. What are some of the key objectives that you're hoping to achieve by having those talks?
I think the major objective is that we really want to challenge the negative stereotypes that are associated with people living with HIV, and to more importantly help them establish their own social and peer support network. What we find within the speakers bureau is that many of them say that it's the best peer support they can possibly do. Mm. So that is another aim of it, but the major objectives are really about providing high quality training to our senior speakers, to then provide education to HIV-related issues, including sexuality and sexual health, not just HIV, to aged care service providers and their staff. Now, when we talk about staff in many of these facilities, many of them do come from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them do have inherited belief systems, and mention the word to them, HIV, and literally they want to double gown and double glove and put face masks on. So we want to challenge that. We want to talk about infection control. We want to talk about the fact that everybody should be treated with respect and dignity, irrespective of their sexuality. So, for example, if their partner comes in and they're sitting there holding their hand, you know, you're not to jump up and down and scream and run out of the room. And aged care providers run by religious, aged care facilities run by religious providers have to provide a safe environment for people, both living with HIV, but more importantly, who identify different of different sexualities.
Now, what's the scope of the project? Is it Melbourne Metro specific, or are we talking broader than that?
It will be a statewide project. It's going to be very much modelled upon our HIV and sexual health project, which was funded for 4 years by the Department of Health. And that was very much about a rural focus because, you know, we have to think HIV positive people live all around the state and we can't just focus on the metro area. So we aim to get to speak to around about 2,400 staff and providers every year of the time of the project.
Now, Max, is the intended audience just the nursing home providers, or is it going to be also people who may be going into aged care as well? So, like older men going into aged care, or you know, is it just for the aged care providers?
Primarily, yes. And when you talk aged care, we think, you know, many people just think aged care homes.
Sure.
Well, it could be supported residential accommodation. It could be care in the home through the local council. So it's very, very diverse in how we would apply that and educate the staff. When it comes to educating older people living with HIV, we would hope that the speakers that we recruit, the 24 that we aim to recruit, will become ambassadors. And that they will actually educate their peers. So it will be a form, like an informal social network. So the news will be spread about these amazing speakers going out and doing this work in their 50s and their 60s, and thereby translate that knowledge across the broader aging HIV positive community.
It's interesting. I kind of see this being really quite well linked to you know, the movement with Enough. It's about changing and challenging the stigma that's present in particular areas. And I'd imagine that aged care facilities likely would be kind of quite a stronghold of some of that stigma, both HIV specific and also with regards to diverse sexualities.
Very much so. And look, we identify the synergies between the PSB program as it exists now and the Enough campaign. The Enough campaign will really encourage aged care providers and their staff to really address their unacknowledged stigma, their internalised stigma around sexuality and around HIV and other bloodborne virus groups. Because we also have to remember that some of our ageing HIV positive population will be also living with hepatitis C.
How many agencies, or how many care facilities are, do we know how many care facilities there are around Victoria? Now, I know you said this is not just for care facilities, but is it the anticipation that staff would come to a central place, or would the speakers go to individual people's homes, to aged care facilities, to rehab centres, etc.? I mean, how is that bit going to work?
They won't be coming to us. We will go to them.
Right.
More importantly, it is more about the facilities and in-house training that we'll be doing. We may have to start with training the executives to overcome their objections to it, and that's when we use things like the Victorian Charter of Human Rights. We use the Discrimination Act, and both at state and federal level. So we probably have to do a lot of in-house education with the CEOs and the managers, and then that disseminates down to the staff. Going into somebody's home, though, is not something that we envisage doing, but we would certainly be working with local council staff who are doing care in the home, and also through Rural District Nursing Service and all of their affiliated programs.
Now, it's some pretty big objectives that you're seeking to reach with the project. How do you know that? How will you know, rather, if it's been successful?
Okay. Well, for those that would not understand, maybe that a funding and services agreement with the federal government is massive, and their reporting mechanisms are 6 monthly, and that everything is going to have to be evaluated. Everything that we do, every I will have to be dotted, every T will have to be crossed. And that's why the person that we've employed has got high-level project management skills, but more importantly, people management skills, interpersonal skills, training skills. They will be building the project. But when you ask me how many aged care facilities there are, Tex, I don't have a clue. Because that will be the project workers' brief.
Oh, of course, yes.
So the funding and services agreement, the reporting mechanisms that they require, we'll be reaching out to Arches and the recently completed REACH project around evaluation and getting standardised evaluation across the community sector.
Mm. Okay. Maxi, you're going to be available, or perhaps it might be the project worker. Do you think the project worker is going to be available to come in every now and then? I mean, I'd suggest this is something which we would like, not as an end product to get a report on, but actually to see how it's going along the track. I mean, is that the sort of thing which it will be possible for the project worker to come in and talk about?
Absolutely. The more people that are involved in this, the more people that are able to speak about it with the passion that I speak about it, I think will be really good.
Well, if the other worker, the worker who's been employed, has a tenth of the passion that you have, this is sure to be a really successful project that is rolled out over the four-year project project time. And I'd suggest we'll probably be one of those projects that receives the extra funding to keep on going.
We're very hopeful that we can absolutely prove that this is an amazing project that has delivered on everything that they require under the deliverables, or the outcomes as they call it. And that's why the evaluation is crucial to proving the effectiveness of what we're going to do.
Now, are you looking for people to get involved at the moment, or is that something you'll be asking us to talk about later on down the track?
That's where the project officer will come in and start his recruitment drive with you. Effectively, we're building this from the ground up. Whilst we have a lot of processes, a lot of ability within the PSB at the moment, or the Positive Speakers Bureau, we have to really start with the funding and service agreement with our strategic plan, and we have to build the project from there. So to recruit people now, we're going to have people hanging around waiting and twiddling their thumbs, and they'd get bored because we can't provide the training. One thing we will be doing, though, is to give them a Cert 4 assessment and workplace trainer qualification too.
Great incentive for people to get involved.
Yeah.
Do you have an anticipated time frame of when you expect when you hope to have the volunteers recruited and be ready to go and have those talks with the services?
Yeah, so training will commence within 6 months with the first round of recruits. We would hope to have them ready within a short period, in around about 3 months. There'll be trial talks that will be done within sort of, you know, a supervised way, and we would hope by the end of 12 months we're absolutely full up and running.
Brilliant.
Well, Max, thank you so much for coming in once again to Joy for Well, Well, Well. Okay, we won't be getting you in to talk about the Senior Voices Project, but I'm sure we will be getting you in to talk about something, possibly around World AIDS Day, just to hear that impassioned voice again. It's been wonderful to have you in on the show, so thank you for coming in once again.
It's been my absolute pleasure, and anybody that's interested in the project, if they do want to express an interest, talk to me.
Living Positive Victoria are presenting their Planet Positive Spring Barbecue, happening once again at Gorgeous DT's Hotel in Richmond. It's not for quite a while, but they'd like you to get the date down now so that you put it in your diaries, whether they're paper or online. It's Saturday the 28th of September. So, yeah, a bit of a time away, but mark your diaries now. And if you'd like more details, and this is the same telephone number that you need to ring if you want more details about the Senior Voices Project that Max was talking about. 9863 8733. That gets you in contact with Living Positive Victoria. And the Planet Positive Spring Barbecue is from 1 till 5. There's no cover charge, great entertainment as always, and there's complimentary food. So that's the Spring Barbecue for Living Positive Victoria.
Now, as many people will be aware, during the month of July, here on Well, 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 we were celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Victorian AIDS Council. And that all culminated with the book launch of Under the Red Ribbon, which tells the story of the organization's history from 1983 till today.
To 2013, indeed. 30 years of gorgeous history with lots of ups and lots of downs, some successes, some tears, some smiles, and they're all encompassed in the book. And so the book is available from the Victorian AIDS Council in Claremont Street, South Yarra.
Indeed.
But you can also go to the special Under the Red Ribbon website. So it's basically Under the Red Ribbon, all one word, underthereadribbon.com.au. And on there you can find out details of how to get the book as well.
That's right. But if you live north of the river, you can also pick up the book from Hares and Hyenas.
Oh, indeed, in Johnson Street, Fitzroy.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, it is Fitzroy.
Just around the corner from something else that's just open this week.
Just around the corner from Pronto.
That's right.
Oh,
Pronto.
There you go. Grab a book to read for that very short time that you'll be hanging around, because it only takes about 20 to 30 minutes.
That's right.
So, yeah. Maybe buy the book on the way out. And as we mentioned earlier, indeed, our new rapid HIV testing site, Pronto, has opened this week. It's at 175 Rose Street in Fitzroy. And if you'd like to find out more, just go and visit the website pronto.org.au, P-R-O-N-T-O, pronto.org.au, or check out our Facebook page. We have been talking about it now for a couple of days.
But while you're on the website, pronto.org.au, you can pick up... Oh, you can book yourself an appointment.
Indeed, yes, you can. Living Positive Victoria, I think this should be renamed the Living Positive Victoria show tonight. Living Positive Victoria are holding focus groups. Now, focus groups are very much like market research groups. So they're currently recruiting sexually active gay men who are living with HIV to assist them in developing a range of new resources. So if you meet that criteria and you're interested in participating, you're invited to contact Guy at Living Positive Victoria, 9863 8744. That's 9863 8744.
And focus groups are a great way to kind of to be involved with the work that the organizations do, even if you can't commit to something long term.
Oh,
just a couple
of
hours.
Yep,
great way.
There's usually an inducement for you to be there, but there's also tea and coffee and biscuits. But it's also meeting people that you probably wouldn't meet at any other time.
Ooh.
And getting to share ideas. You know, what do you think? Oh, well, I think this. You know, oh, well, I'm a bit iffy on that one. And it's a great way to get a message of what's going to work online, what's going to work in a printed ad, what's going to work in the cloud.
What works for you?
What works for you on Facebook or wherever. So, yeah, focus groups are a really good way to get involved.
Now, last but not least,
yep.
One more thing from Living Positive Victoria, but also from Positive Health, which is the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre's counselling service. Actually, Judith mentioned this today as I saw her. And it's In the Loop. So she's been on air with us before to talk about this group. And it's for partners, family members, close friends, neighbors, or anyone else who plays a significant role in the life of someone with living with HIV. And the group aims to provide general information about the virus, as well as the available supports in the community, and help explore ways that carers can look after themselves more effectively as well. They'll be running the group shortly. It'll be run in South Bank at Coventry House. If you want more information, you can contact Guy Hussey at Living Positive Victoria. And once again, that phone number, if you haven't grabbed it yet, is 9863 8733. Otherwise, you can go to livingpositivevictoria.org.au.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.